Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn, and this Aspire radio program, we like to call it Satsang, is for Saturday, July the 1st, 2017. It is going fast. Where did June go? Where is she? Anyway, here we are in July, and I'm very grateful to serve you in this way. We're going to talk about what is right. Huh? What is right? We're going to talk a little bit about that and the whole idea of the meaning of right according to, well, those of us who live in this world. We all have our sense of rightness. But before we get into that, I want to remind you that these radio programs, you are only hearing them due to the very kind, loving nature of my sponsors who make all this possible through their tax-deductible gifts, quarterly and monthly. And if you are enjoying these radio programs, I sincerely hope that you will find it in your own integrity to help us sustain it through joining us in our sponsorship program. It really is a very simple process. You can choose a monthly or a quarterly donation that you like, whatever works for you as a person. And as you become a sponsor, we use your donations to pay for airtime and for all the expenses of our radio and TV programs. Your donations go to serve humankind in many wonderful ways for a lot of people on this earth who listen and watch Aspire in all its various forms. And of course, for your donation, you will have access to my podcast, my video casts, my commentaries, the 122 discourses that I have done over the years on various subjects, from the Eightfold Path to the Tao Te Ching, to Cahil Gibran, to Socrates, all the great teachers that have touched my life, touched your life, hopefully. And these are there for you to download and use as you like, to listen to and serve you as well. Your donations make it possible for me to work at hospice and to do my work there. Without your gifts, none of this could happen. So won't you become a sponsor and help humankind in a way in which it needs it desperately through the spiritual practice of love? If you go to the website at aspire.org, you will see support. And if you go to support, you will also see, as you pull down that menu, why support Aspire. And there is a wonderful page there that tells you everything you need to know about why supporting Aspire is important and what we do with your kind donations. And you can sign up right there. Okay? What is right? What do we mean by right? It's a social custom. It's right is logical only to individuals, you know, personally. What's right for one person may not be right for another. This word right causes us a great deal of war, of famine, of pain and suffering. Right, right, right. Are you right? Well, anyway, let's get to the questions. I think you're going to find them kind of interesting. What you teach does not make a difference in anyone's lives, Greg. So what are you trying to do? I don't see how your being right would help anyone, Janice. Janice, I'm not interested in right. And anyone who's interested in rightness would not be attracted to me at all, because that is not where I come from. That is not what I'm interested in. People who need to be right, Janice, are insecure. They're looking for a payoff. They're looking for some reward. And they must be very afraid of what is wrong. And they could be operating in a lifestyle and in a life that is contrary to the way in which life works. I am not here to convert you. I am not here to console you. I am not here to coerce you. I'm not here to do any of those things. I am not here to be right either. I never say I am right about these teachings, even though they are interesting. They are powerful. They do many wonderful things to those who can see the value of them. But the context of the word right or wrong is not something that I'm much interested in at all. I am not looking for the key to the door. I am looking for the candle in the room. The way I look at my teachings and my work is this. We all live in this dark room. And in the dark room, there is a candle. And we are given a match. And if we find the candle, we can light the match and see where we are. That's the way I look at it. I don't think it's right or wrong to be in the dark room. I don't think it's right or wrong that there is a candle that is unlit. I don't think it's right or wrong that I have the match in my hand. These are the circumstances of my condition, your condition. So I am looking for a way to find the candle and to light that candle. That's all. From there, I don't know what comes next, but it is interesting, isn't it? So you must understand, I'm not trying to change you. I'm not trying to change others. I'm not trying to tell you why and appeal to your logic and reasoning. I am not doing any of that. That is not important to me at all. What is important to me is that we find ourselves in this room. You say the truth that I teach does not make a difference in anyone's life. That may be true. That may be very true. But I don't really care. That's not the point of view. Maybe it doesn't work in your life or Harry's life or Sally's life. Who knows? But it might work in Bob and Ted and Jim's life. You never know. It certainly has in my own. And it has given me some very interesting moments in my life. And all I have to work from, Janice, is my own direct experience. I can't work from yours or anyone else's. So I am sharing. I am not telling. I am teaching you what could happen to you or what could be very powerful in your life. Were you to give it consideration, were you to see it for what it is, and maybe want to explore it a little bit. If that is the case in you, then everything that I offer will be of great interest to you. Everything I offer would be something of a blessing for you. But if you are not looking for your way out of the darkness of the room, or that you think that it is unfair for you to be there or whatever, if you have become accustomed to the dark and your eyes have become accustomed to the dark and you are comfortable with it, then there is no need to search. There is no need to listen to me. There would be no reason to send me this email, but you did. And that, to me, Janice, is very telling. You might be tired of living in the dark. So, what to do? You're going to have to live in accordance with your heart. It is only in your heart that you find the light. You find the candle. What I am teaching you, well, what I'm offering to you, I should say, is a way to find the candle, not get out of the room. I don't see how any of us could get out of the room until we find the candle. So, It is easy to look at what I teach and think it doesn't make you money. It doesn't make people like you more. What is it that you are looking for that would in your life help you or make a difference? Would it be if I told you that if you practice this meditation, any of the meditations that I have on my website, that you would be a richer person, or that more people would like you, or that you would look younger, or you would never age? Or is that what you're looking for? That's what most people are looking for. And if that is the case, then I am useless, as you say. All great teachings are useless to the pedestrian mentality, because the mentality does not see how it can further itself through anything that would, in essence, obliterate the pedestrian mentality. And that's what I'm offering, the methods that would obliterate your way of life, your way of thinking. And that must look very ugly to you, and I'm sorry, but that is the way. When you are ready, when the time comes and you are seeking the authentic, you will find a teacher. It may even be me. A teacher who will love you enough, understand you enough to help you. Please forgive me. Namaste. When you listen to the things I offer, it must be very difficult, very, very difficult to imagine that any of this could help you. I totally understand that. I really do. The next question comes from Zach, and he does not tell me where he lives. So what is the purpose, if any, for meditation, Zach? Zach, meditation is not a sitting in contemplation. Meditation is not even a pose. It is a posture within you. It is a way of linking yourself to the things that our minds, our pedestrian thinking, cannot contain. Then it becomes a lifestyle. And when your meditation becomes a lifestyle, you begin to have the insight to recognize what needs changing. What do I mean by changing? By how you live. Maybe you will live more quietly. Maybe you will live more serenely. Maybe you will live more adept to silence itself. Zach, it is very difficult for people to understand that the depth of meditation is the liberation of a person's life. It is very difficult for people to understand that. We don't like silence very much. Silence can be very frightening to us. So we just really have a difficult time with it. And we make our lives difficult because we have no quiet. We exist noisy. We exist as noise, as talking, as thinking. Even in our dreams, it never stops. We continue to live in that collective unconscious, and it links us to the collective. It links us to our psychology, which is a part of the collective unconscious. And that collective unconscious is huge. Think of it as smog. Smog that is everywhere. Where we came from, this collective unconscious, and we are poured into this human body that is the collective unconscious. And it isn't that the human body is evil or bad, because it's not. We have urges inside of us that are instinctive to our DNA and our genetics, and it does make us do some very, very ugly things. But more than that, we live in all of this because we live as fear, and that is what the collective is all about, fear. You ask me, what is the purpose of meditation, if any? The purpose isn't something you can understand sitting outside of meditation. It is like a person who is looking at a swimming pool. They have their trunks on, their swimming suit on, and they are watching people get wet and swimming in it. But they themselves have never been wet. They have never been in that pool. But they are deeply afraid of it because they don't know what being wet means. They don't know how to swim, so it looks impossible to them. And yet they are seeing people thriving in the water, playing in the water, swimming in the water, and they are wet. But they have been told many things about what it means to be wet and all the dangers that are surrounding it. You could drown in it. You could die in it. You've heard all of these things. You might put your finger in the pool for a moment and see your finger get wet. And you think, well, that looks harmless. And then you might dangle your feet and your legs in the pool. And you might find it soothing or interesting. Someone may come along and splash you. And that may frighten you. That might scare you. So you run from the pool. You're not sure. You're not complete within yourself. You're not confident. Entering into meditation is like entering into a warm and very beautiful pool of water that's soothing. It releases you from the pain and the sorrow. It shows you where pain and sorrow comes from. It gives you insight. You get to use a part of your mind that never gets exercised, never gets illumined. You get to use a part of your mind for intuition, kindness. You support it with your daily life of doing those things that would keep your mind focused on meditation, on your breath. Such things as being forgiving and giving, unconscionably so. It changes your perspective. You no longer live from the human mind that is always grabbing for things and wanting things to appease it. You start living from not the pretension of mind and body, but the consistency of compassion through the heart and the soul. It is a form of generosity, Zach, to meditate. It really is. It's a big form of generosity. And those who know meditation know generosity. Those who do not know meditation only know what it means to be confined in a mind that is always in the process of conflict, fighting. In meditation, there is no fight. In meditation, there is no striving. Meditation is to sit and want nothing with all of your heart. Just to want nothing with all of your heart. I don't think we realize how much we want all the time. It wears us out. It kills inspiration. And pretty soon, we are just left with what we have, always yearning for more than what we got, and never seeing that the reason we got what we got was because of our yearning, our desiring, our wanting. And we just go on and on and on with this. Zach. Don't make problems where they're not. Meditation is not a purpose. It is a lifestyle. It is the way we live. It is the beauty of our life. It is the whole essence of our living. And I invite you to join us. I really do. It is one of the most unique experiences you will ever have. I hope that helped you. Please forgive me. Namaste. And the last question comes from Jack in Seattle. I don't have time and the discipline to learn any meditation. My life is very rushed and busy. Does anyone have the time anymore for such frivolous matters? Jack. Jack, frivolous is in the eye of the beholder. And I can understand how you might think of meditation as frivolous. After all, when you come out of meditation, have you made more money? Have you buttered your bread? Have you paid the mortgage? What has been accomplished? It is an interesting question. But if that's the only question on your mind, then you have bigger problems than I'm talking about right here. You may not have the time. And you probably are right, you don't have the discipline. But you could cultivate it. You've got to hang in there with those wild steeds of thought that we all have that are running rampant in us and begin to see the meaning of what it is, again, to seek the heart of your life. Because that's what meditation offers, the heart of your living and the heart of your life. And if you are content with your life the way it is, and you see no reason to move beyond the current lifestyle you have, then meditation, well, it won't look right to you. It won't look necessary. But once it's realized, once you practice it with any sense of courage or kindness, you will find it is amazing. My students, after 10 years of doing Tibetan pulsing, are just now finding, after 10 years, and please understand, these are not the most disciplined people you will ever find in your life. After 10 years, they have found meaning in meditation. And now, they couldn't live their life without it. They have found a way inside them. These students are very unique, yes. Unusual, yes. But they suffer and fight with the same things you're talking about. It's just the way it's done. But it does offer a person a chance to be insightful and kind. And it changes the way in which they sit in the posture of their own inner life. And they no longer are troubled by the same thoughts they used to be troubled by. And though they dig around and want to find more thoughts to be obsessed with and compulsed with, generally they can't find them. And once they realize they're not there anymore and that they can live without them, oh, it becomes very, very interesting. So give it a try sometime when you're ready. When you're ready to have a true life change, I think you'll find meditation that change. Please forgive me. Namaste. If you have a comment, a question, anything, come to the website at aspire.org, aspire.org. Go to media. You will see Satsang with Siraj. That would be me. And you can listen to past, future, and present radio programs and ask a question right from there. Thank you for listening. Have a beautiful day. I'll be back on the air tomorrow. And of course, you know, please forgive me, eh? Namaste.